Do you have your pen and paper and pencil ready to write down these answers? We hope so. This is a live broadcast. Today is March the 1st, 2015. We are so thrilled to be able to be with you as we go to the Bible for all the answers. You are to be commended for your interest in wanting to know what God has to say in His Word. Now remember, this is a live broadcast, so you can call in your questions right now. The number is, and all of our phone numbers throughout the broadcast are area code 843. And so the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. You set the topic. You set the theme. But we're going to go to God for the answer. That is, His answers are going to come out of His Word, the Bible. That's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. So don't miss out on this. This is your opportunity to get all those answers to the questions that are on your heart and mind. Now, you may have wondered about some of the events of this day. Many people actually tune in toward the end of this broadcast on the first day of the week because they're involved with partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that they do that just once a month rather than like the Bible says, which is on the first day of the week, which happens every first day of the week. That's every 7 days. And so you might have a question about that. How come they do it just once a month? Well, we'll direct you to what the Bible says about that, but as far as what man has come up with, we have no clue as to why they do some of the things that they do. However, if it comes down to what God says, we better do it God's way, because Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if He's got all authority, we better ask Him why we should be doing these things. So now's your chance to call 308-9564. Now, if you have a cell phone, you can also communicate through texting. And the text line is also available right now at 725-9283. Again, that's area code 843, 725-9283. We are glad to be able to be of service to you, and we hope and pray that this program today will be a blessing to you as you see what the Bible says, not what man says. One more thing that you might need to be aware of, and that is we do have a website where you can check us out there at www.BibleAlone.com. The reason this is important is if you have friends or relatives that live out of state or in other places of the world, you can direct them to our website and they can hit the live stream button on the front page and they too can be connected right now as we go to the Bible live, no matter where they're at in the world. And there's one more way. If they have a smartphone, they can use an app called TuneIn Radio. Find this radio station, which is WJNI in Charleston, and they also can be with us live right now. So anyone you love that is anywhere in the world, let them know, and they can join us right now to find those answers that pertain to life and godliness. We're going to go to the Bible for the answer. Why? Because that's where all the answers are found. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, through the knowledge of Him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, without further delay, we're going to go to the answers in God's Word, to the questions, the topics, and the theme that you supply. So join us right now, 308-9564. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a text question from last week that we want to get answered. But before we do that, I just want to let everyone know that you can please go ahead and call in your questions at 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to call in your questions. You can have them written down and brought in to us. Or if you prefer, you can actually ask your question live over the airwaves. And that option is available to you. So please go ahead and call in your questions at 308-9564. And we have the text line available. The text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283 is the text line that's available. We have this text left over from last week whose phone number ends in the digits 579. Hopefully you got the text that we sent you in response last week, letting you know that we would have to get to your question this week because it came in kind of late. We were We were getting all our questions out as best we can. A lot of times we get bombarded kind of towards the end of the broadcast. And so if you want to make sure you avoid that and go ahead and call in your questions now, and so we can make sure we get to it. So hopefully this texter is listening, and this texter, their question says, is the Sabbath the only day that you should have church? Is it breaking the fourth commandment to attend church on Sunday? There's a couple of things to consider. First of all, the term having church is not in the Bible. Is that phrase, having church or going to church, something people use fairly common and fairly often. However, it could serve some assistance to help you know that the word church is to actually talk about the group of people. The church is means the called out. So the church is the gathering of the believers, the people that would be the church. And then as far as what people say as coming to church, that would be the worship service or the assembly of the saints, as what it is seen called in First Corinthians, and we see that in chapter 14 and chapter 11, as far as the assembling of the saints, where chapter 11 verse 17 talks about coming together as the church. And so concerning this, is it breaking the fourth commandment to, have church or worship God in assembly? Is that breaking the fourth commandment to do that on Sunday and not the Sabbath, which would be Saturday? Well, it is only that is only a sin concerning the Sabbath being a command of the Old Testament. The Jews, the old law, the Mosaic law, the first five books of the Bible, was given to the Jews, the children of Israel. It was the commandments for them to follow in that time. However, we do not live under the old law. We are not Jews. God opened his kingdom to all people, to Jews and Gentiles, not just the Jews. So the Jews are no longer God's only special people. Those who are committed to Christ and have obeyed the gospel of Christ, those are his special people. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, his own special people. And we are under the new law. John 12:48, Christ said, "The words which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." And so there's a lot of scriptures that show the difference between the old law and the new law, specifically Hebrews chapter 7 through 10. So you can study Hebrews chapter 7 through 10 so you can really get a good hold on it. Then there's also Galatians 3, 4, and 5, Colossians 2. So those are some chapters that really help you. But Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 4 really give you a good illustration. It talks about a woman and her husband and the law of marriage and the law of her husband. And so it sums that up in verse 4. It sums up that whole illustration by saying in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." So we have become dead to the law, being married to the law, the Old Testament. We're dead to that through what? Through the body of Christ, that we would be married to another. So now we're married to Christ. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Hebrews chapter 7 through 10, Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 5, Colossians chapter 2, and we looked at Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 4. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564.
I believe that also answered the next text question that came in today, and that is, what does remember the Sabbath and keep it holy mean? And of course, in the Old Testament, which was part of that law for the Jews, as established in those verses that Chuck just went over, that was just a law for them till Christ came. Now we listen to Christ. But as far as concerning them, what it meant was that they were supposed to remember God who set it up and made it holy, and that they were not to work on that day. They were not to travel. They were not to go anywhere. There was just a limited space that they could even travel. They could not cook. Many other things that they could not do on that Sabbath, but it was wholly devoted to God. And so they were to focus on him on that day. And again, that was part, that was the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that was not repeated in the New Testament law. And so hopefully that has been helpful. That was the last three digits, 562 in your phone number. And so thank you. Thank you for your question. We have this text question also coming in, and that is from the last three digits, 113. They want to explain, us to explain Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, the meaning, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And of course, Jesus does give this parable here in Acts, I mean, in Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the laborers. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 10. And you're right, the point there is finally made it in verse 16, "And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called and few are chosen." Well, that also, I think Jesus himself can explain that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, where Jesus is talking about those who are going to heaven and those who choose to go to heaven and the fruit that they bear and that they will not bear. And so he says in Matthew chapter 7 that straight is a gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that go thereby it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are and few are there are that find it. I mix the two verses up. Let me read verse 13 again. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it." And so here, the most people are by choice, by their choice of obeying God and choice of not obeying God, most are going to choose to go to destruction. Yet there will be a few, according to verse 14, that will find it and will choose that difficult way that leads to life. And so who is responsible for that? Well, each and every one of us is responsible. And so what we need to do is to try and to be the few, and thus we'll be able to be pleasing to God. It's time for us to take our first break. But before we, if we do not get another question, come in, Chuck, I want you to address, what does few mean? What does few mean? We'll do that right after the break. But everybody think about that. When God says few, what does that mean? And we'll talk about that as we get back from our break. But while we are at break, continue with your questions. The voice line is 308-9564, or the text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we are glad that you're interested in knowing what God has to say from His Word. We are thrilled to be able to be of service to you, and we hope and pray that you are interested in getting your answers, your questions answered from God's Word. And so you set the topic, you set the theme, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. The number is 308-9564. About the correspondence course that we just mentioned, please know it is free, and we are thrilled to be able to be of service to you. Again, the voice line, if you want to call and have your question written down and brought into us, it is 308-9564. Now, the text line, if you want to text us, is 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. And so just go ahead and call or text us, and we will get your question answered on today's broadcast. And so the correspondence course I was mentioning is absolutely free, and we're happy to send it to you. And by the way, if you get that in the mail to you this week, you may be able to get answers to questions that you have never even known were in God's Word. Sometimes people have been only given a small portion of the truth from God's Word, if you will, spoon-fed just a portion of it, when there are very important issues that need to be addressed in order to go to heaven. And so let's not miss out on that. Why don't you start your journey to discover those things and request the Bible correspondence course. That number for the course is, here we go, you might want to write this down, it is 553-5157. That's area code 843. That would be 553-5157, and you'll be able to get that course. We'll be able to get it in the mail to you, even this week. So don't miss out on that. Now we have a question that we started with just a minute ago in reference to the passage we used in Matthew chapter 7, talking about few. When God says, few there be that find it, how many is few? And after we get a little glimpse in God's word about what this means, you might want to be answering yourself this question, asking this question, am I one of those few? So, Chuck, what does few mean?
Well, there's a couple of different places in God's word where we see this numbering that God says about destruction and how there are a multitude, there's more people that will disobey him than there will be that will obey him. And we see one of these examples in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18 with Sodom and Gomorrah. Here is where God told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the city, the surrounding cities, the cities of the plain. And if you go down to verse 23, here Abraham says, it says, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 24, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? And then if we go on, and if you look throughout this passage here towards the end of the passage, he starts kind of bargaining a little bit. So the Lord says, okay, for 50, no, I won't destroy it. And then Abraham says, well, in verse 28, well, what about 45? He says, well, no, I will not destroy it. And then he keeps going down. 29, he says, well, what about 40? And then it just keeps going down. 31, he says 20. And then we actually get down to 10 here in verse 32. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished Abraham speaking with Abraham. Abraham turned to his place. So basically, we continue to go throughout this section here. If you go on to chapter 19, you will see that he could not find 10 righteous, and Sodom and Gomorrah ended up being destroyed. So he couldn't even find 10 righteous people in the cities of the plain that included Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we don't know a specific number of people that were in the cities of the plains, but you know, we could speculate, but the number of people in the city was a good amount, enough to where 50 would seem to not be that much. And the fact that he went even further down to 10 just shows you a little bit more, and that can be eye-opening. But even more eye-opening than that, if you think about the last time the Lord destroyed the earth, we see that in 1 Peter chapter 3, we are given an example of what few was the last time the Lord destroyed the earth. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the context, this starts really around verse 18. And in verse 19, it talks about when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So, yep, Noah, around that time, this is when the Lord destroyed the earth. This is Genesis chapter 6, how he talks about that, the days of Noah. He says, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, so he uses the word few. He says a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. Now, at the time where the earth was destroyed, eight souls was definitely a few. There were most likely hundreds of thousands of people on the earth that at least, you know, could have been millions, but there was, once again, we, you know, have to speculate, so we can't say for sure, it wasn't a specific number, but there were thousands and thousands of people on the earth, most likely, and only eight souls were saved. So even if there was only just 1,000 people, eight would be a very small number out of that. So now think about how we are now. There are 7 billion people in the world today. What is a few in 7 billion? And are you a part of that few?
Whoa, that is an awesome question. something to really think about. And thus, this program is trying to encourage people to be one of those few. The few, in God's eyes, really does mean few. And so when Jesus says, few there be that find it, few are chosen because they choose whether they want to be one of God's chosen few or not. And so that's why it's so important to find out what God says so that we can be one of those few and be able to be found acceptable in his sight. It all begins and ends with what Jesus says, because he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And that's why it is so important for us to go to the truth, find God's word, what it says, and be able to follow what God's word says. Now, if you have a question about any of the subjects that that God addresses, then why not call right now? The lines, both lines are available. Our operator is standing by about to fall asleep, so you better give him a call. The number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. And you can choose to have your question written down or and be brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The choice is yours. Now, if you choose to go live, we ask that you be ready to turn your radio down and give us your name so we can address you in a polite manner and be able to discuss with you on God's word about your question. Again, the number to call in right now, the voice line is 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, as the previous questions did, the text number is 725-9283. Either way, your question will be received. We'll be able to get to the Bible and find the answer to your question on today's broadcast. Again, one more time, the voice line is 308-9564. There's one line available now. And if you would like to call, you can do that through that number, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text, that line stays open and you can text at any time, which is 725-9283. Now, the area code on all these numbers is area code 843. Just in case you're calling from a different area code, it's area code 843. And we'll be glad to get your question on today's broadcast. Again, 725-9283 is the text line. 308-9564 is the voice line.
We're about to go to break, and you're going to hear an encouragement about the Bible correspondence course that we have. And we just want to encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, we are only here to try to help you get to know God's word better. You know, he speaks to us through his word, and he shows us how we are to live pleasing and to be pleasing in his sight. And so, you know, being in God's word, spending time in God's word and applying it to your life is a huge, huge part of being a Christian. I dare say it's a foundational part of being a Christian, because, you know, any other thing that you do or feel in terms of how you want to live towards God, you only know it because God's word says it. You know, we talk about, you know, there's prayer, you know, you want to pray. Well, God's word tells us to pray. You know, you talk about going to worship service and being a part of the assembly of the saints. Well, God's word tells us to do that too. So studying God's word, being in God's word, and knowing his instructions from his word is a foundational piece of our walk with him. And so that's what the Bible Correspondence Course is for, to help you and to assist you as much as possible to know more and to be able to apply it to your lives better. And so we try to make ourselves readily available to help you in that. That's what the Bible Correspondence Course is doing. It's designed for you to be in control of your growth in learning of God's word. And so we just want to be able to help you, make ourselves available. We can come by and study with you and talk with you about God's word. We're eager to do that. That's what we prefer to do. You know, this over the radio airwaves thing is nice, but we like to be in front of people and talking about God's word and the things of God. So please listen to this encouragement concerning the Bible Correspondence Course. Even while we're at break, you are available to call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. So don't miss out on this. Get this to you. Let us get the Bible Correspondence course to you. It is absolutely free. Matter of fact, you'll get the opportunity to study the Bible anytime you want to with this course, rather than just having to tune in on Sunday afternoon. And so, by the way, as you study through this, you'll probably get to learn 10 times more by the correspondence course and seeing it directly from your own Bible than you would ever get from this radio broadcast. And it is our honor to be able to send it to you. And so you can study that anytime when it's best for you to concentrate. And you may discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. And by the way, some of these things we have seen very clearly may keep you out of heaven one day if you're not aware of what God's Word says on these topics. So why not get this in the mail to you and discover vital truth that is necessary in order to please God? You have nothing to lose at all. It's absolutely free. Just call 553-5157, and you will get this in the mail this week. So don't miss out on this. And so we're happy to send this to you, and it is, of course, absolutely free. We have a couple of questions on deck here, but if you have a question you want to go ahead and call, you can call the voice line at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck, I believe you've got the next question.
Oh yeah, we have Pat calling in this question asking about John the Baptist was baptizing, and Jesus has come, and so Pat wants to know, do we still need water baptism? Well, that's a good question, Pat, and there's many places in the New Testament and Christ's law that actually talk about water baptism. We have specifically, there are verses that it mentions baptism, but some people say, hey, well, he doesn't specifically say that's water baptism. It could be, Holy Spirit baptism, another baptism. There's Mark 16:16 that says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. There's Matthew 28:19-20. It talks about how we can make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then there's also Acts 2 that talks about those who were baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:41. But here's where we can know that those baptisms concerning what Christ commanded, we're talking about water baptism. If you look at Acts 8, there's a situation that happens here with Philip and this man in Ethiopia. Now, to know the context of this verse, you must know that this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was traveling to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so he was traveling through traveling through the desert. Now, so you must remember that this Ethiopian eunuch is traveling through the desert. Okay. And so picking up in verse 26 is where this section starts, where it mentions the place where they're at from Jerusalem to Gaza. He says this is desert. So that's verse 26. Verse 27 shows it was an Ethiopian eunuch who was returning from worshiping at Jerusalem. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to overtake his chariot in verse 29. And so he did. Verse 32 shows the place where this Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah. What we call this place where he was reading is Isaiah 53. So, Pat, you could do yourself a favor, mark yourself a note to read Isaiah 53, and you can know exactly where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in order to understand where his mindset would have been, okay? And so while reading this, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip a question. He says, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this about, himself or some other man? Verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at Isaiah 53, preached Jesus to him. All right, we must make sure we're on the same level. On Acts 8, verse 35, it says, Philip opened his mouth beginning at this scripture, which would have been Isaiah 53. So beginning at that scripture, it says he preached Jesus to him. The very next verse, the very next verse, verse 36 says, now as they went down the road, once again, they're in the desert. So as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me or what's stopping me from being baptized? And he's talking about this water in the desert that was, this thought came to him after Philip preached Jesus to him. So we must have to understand that in the preaching of Jesus to someone, that water baptism is included in that. Because there's nowhere in Isaiah 53 that's talking about water baptism. It's just not in there. But Philip started at that scripture, preached Jesus to this eunuch, and the eunuch's response was, what's stopping me from being baptized? In verse 37, Philip answers him. And verse 38, they both went down into the water and he baptized them. You know, once again, they're in the desert. So somewhere along this desert, there was a place where there was enough water for them both to go down into the water for Philip to baptize this eunuch. So, Pat, the answer to your question is a resounding yes. We still do need water baptism. And we see that here in Acts chapter 8. Also, once again, it was Mark 16:16, Matthew verses 28, excuse me, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then there's also 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. And, you know, Rome, there's just many other places. So, Pat, hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. Ricky, you got something you want
to
add?
Yeah, one more verse that mentions water is Acts chapter 10 and verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And so, therefore, you can see that if that was something that was practiced. And it's necessary in order to have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul himself having to submit to that. So thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your question very much, Pat. Thank you. And thank you for your interest in knowing what the Bible says. Again, if you have a question, the lines are available 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Again, we're ready to receive your questions. We have Linda calling in this question. Her question is, when we die and go to heaven, some are not there that we may have loved and left behind, will we be remorseful or sad? Well, Linda, that's a really good question. I've thought about this many times and wondered myself about this. And the best I can think of to come up with, we will recognize people in heaven. We can see that from Matthew 17, when Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah. And also the rich man recognized Abraham in Luke chapter 16. So it's not a matter of recognition or not recognition. We will be very well cognizant of things that are going on, it seems. However, when we go back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 28, we see another one that was raised from the dead, and to my knowledge, these are, besides Jesus Christ, these are the only words that we have recorded from someone that had already died and been over on the other side. And in this case, it was Samuel. And Saul, God allow a if you will, a witch or someone that was doing medium to raise Samuel from the dead or at least communicate with him. And the very first words out of Samuel's mouth may help in your question. And that is 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 15. It says, now Samuel said to Saul, quote, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Okay, we get the idea there. He did not want to be disturbed. And so would Samuel, and does Samuel, is he aware of the things that may have happened in his lifetime and that people that may not have made it, like, for example, who he was talking to at that moment, and that is King Saul, who ended up killing himself. And there seems to be, over on the other side of the death line, there seems to be a peace. There seems to be a comfort. That's what Lazarus was experiencing. That was something that God has promised, that there will be a rest. And thus, in that kind of existence, it's going to be so grand and so intense that we probably don't even want to be disturbed by the facts of what may be going on here in this life. You see, We're aware. God expects of us to submit to him. And so it's up to us whether we're going to submit to him or not. If we do, well, we'll enjoy that rest. We'll enjoy heaven. We'll enjoy that eternity with God. And if we don't, well, that's their choice. We cannot push a rope, nor can we force anybody that doesn't want God to accept him. All we can do is offer the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and it is up to each and every one of us to submit, to receive it, to obey it, and do exactly what God says, or to reject it. Which will you do? We've already talked about few there be that find it. So which are we going to be? Are we going to be part of the many or part of the few? That's the question. Thank you, Linda. We sure do appreciate that. Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 15, and we also refer to Luke chapter 16, verses 25 through the end of the chapter, and Matthew chapter 17. Thank you so much, Linda. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564.
Linda, I just wanted to throw in a real popular verse that many people know, Revelation 21, verse 4, talking about being in heaven. It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain from the former things, for the former things have passed away." So there will be no sorrow, no crying concerning those things.
Just very good. Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The voice line is available, both lines, 308-9564. You better hurry because the crowd letting out is going to be taking up the line and these questions are piled up. So if you have a question, call in right now, 308-9564. You'll be the next one through. Or if you would rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about the correspondence course that we offer free of charge. And by the way, most churches today are restricted from telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So why not find that out now while you can do something about it? Because you may not be able to hear it in churches across the land today. Let's find the truth directly in the Bible and remove all kind of spoon feeding from us and to find the whole truth. Why not get this course on its way to you right now? By the way, the number for that course is 553-5157. That's for the correspondence course. Now, if you want to call in your question, there's an operator standing by right here, right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live. Again, we want to just express our thanks for everyone who is listening to the broadcast. We really, really do appreciate you taking your time out. And we appreciate the fact that you want to know the answers to life and godliness that, you know, God's word says, you know, because that really is what matters. And so it is just our earnest prayer and desire that you are only hearing God and that you are not paying any attention to us, because we just want you to know God's word and to understand what God's word says. And so that's why we're here. We're here to help you. We're not here for any kind of fame. We're not here for any kind of attention or glory. We don't want none of it. You know why? That stuff means nothing. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul was kind of going through the same thing. And he says, "What do I seek to please God or man? For if I please men, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ." And that's exactly how we feel. It's not about us getting glory or honor or pleasing people. It is about pleasing God and doing the will of God. And so that's why we're here, and that's why we're offering you book, chapter, verse to God's word. You know, we want to offer you answers to your questions, and we point you to God's word so you won't have questions to our answers. Because God's word will remove those questions from those answers. He contains all the things that we need, and so we just want you to be able to know what God's word says and to be able to apply it to your lives. You know, knowing what God's word says means absolutely nothing if you don't apply what it says to your life. That's where the power of the word is at. James 1:22, very popular verse, says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself." So hearing God's word and knowing what God's word says means absolutely nothing if you don't actually do it and live by it. Because if you do, then you'll be deceiving yourself. And so that's why we're here. We're just earnestly and honestly trying to help you to learn more about God's word. And we make ourselves available to you in that. Please go ahead, take advantage of the broadcast. Take advantage of your opportunity. You can call in your questions right now. Call in your questions at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. And we have the text line available. You can text in your questions also. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283.
And you can join us right now, so don't miss out on this. The voice line is available. You will be the next one through, 308-9564. Again, you can always text us at 725-9283, and we will get your question on today's broadcast. We have this caller calling in. The last three digits of their phone number is 919, and their question is kind of interesting. It says, is it wrong for me to say that I cannot bear what it is my fate to be required to bear? If I understand you right, is it right to say that we cannot bear what it is my fate or what's given to me? Well, that's if we're a child of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, and with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so there it says exactly opposite of what I think that you're saying there. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Why not memorize it? That would be very helpful to you in that kind of confusion. Now, they go on and ask this, and I'm really concerned about your statement here. It says, I have lost several family members within the last month. And the preacher said, quote, the death angel is riding, unquote. Is there anything in the Bible about this? And what does this mean? He has put fear in some of my family. Well, it is so sad to see that someone would pray upon you that way. And that's exactly what's going on. Let's just turn to the Bible and see what God has to say. Let me pick up in 2 Corinthians, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning with verse 1. It says, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. Indeed, you do bear with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I have betrothed you to a husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So he's, again, God, through Paul, is saying that you have been married to Christ. However, here's what's happening. Verse 3, but I fear lest someone, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus to whom we have not preached, and if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's saying you shouldn't be putting up with this. Remember, Galatians chapter 1 warns them, though we are an angel from heaven preaching the other gospel, they're going to be accursed. Now, this passage goes on to say, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the utmost apostles. And there he describes himself there with them, and then goes on to point out that those that would teach or take advantage of you that way, beginning with verse 13, says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So there were people that were deceiving back then, that were taking advantage of others, that were actually taking advantage of naive people, and they would fall for those things. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stick with the truth. The truth is what will set us free. Don't you dare listen to us. Don't listen to preachers. Don't listen to even your mama, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when we stand before God one day, it will be his word we're going to be judged by, not what some fancy, smooth-tongued preacher might be saying from the pulpit, and certainly not someone that's going to intimidate you with a threat of an angel is riding hard on you. Oh, we got to be careful there. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and that was 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 15. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. Chuck, you have the next question?
First we wanted to make mention of we had a caller call back and request us to repeat the passages that we gave concerning baptism. When we were looking at Acts chapter 8, and it was verses 26 through 39, well, 26 through 40 to the end of the chapter, that was a situation with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And in verse 32 through and 33, there was the passage of Isaiah that was quoted. That was Isaiah chapter 53. That's what was quoted there. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip interrupted him and came to him. So that was Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through the end of the chapter, verse 40. And that was Isaiah chapter 53. So that's what was those we mentioned earlier. Now, we have this question from V. V called in by dialing 308-9564, and you can also, 308-9564, to have your question written down and send it to us. Or you can text in your question. The text line is 725-9283. V's question is, how does water baptism save us and cleanse us from sin? Well, that's a good question. And if we look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You know, one of the reasons why is because that's what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So, you know, even as straightforward and as simple as that. But also there's Romans chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Now, in chapter 8 of Acts is where we Saul, who was later named Paul as he became an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's where the story of his conversion is at in Acts chapter 8. But in Acts chapter 22, here Paul is recounting that story, and he says something. He mentions what Ananias told him when Ananias came to him to receive so Saul could receive his sight. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, what Ananias said to Paul was this: and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we see here that Ananias told him that this baptism would wash away his sins. Well, how does that do that? How does water baptism wash away our sins? Well, Romans chapter 6 would be where you need to go to get the visualization. Romans chapter 6 uses a very vivid illustration to try to help you to understand it. So how does water baptism cleanse us and wash away from our sins? Water baptism is the point where we are united with the blood of Christ. Water baptism is where we're united with the death of Christ, and the death of Christ is what saves us. The blood of Christ is what washes away our sins. And water baptism is what does that. It symbolizes that. If we look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. So the baptism, water baptism, that buries us with Christ. Okay. And then going on to verse 4, it says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5 is key. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Once again, that water baptism, that's what unites us together in the likeness of Christ's death. So if we do that, verse 5 continues. It says, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That is how this water baptism saves us. It cleanses us from our sins, because water baptism is what connects us actually with the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is what washes away our sins. So I could drag somebody off the street and dunk them in the water and say, you've been baptized. That's not baptism. Because once again, going back to Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So the baptism without the belief is useless. The baptism must be in response to the belief of Christ and his gospel message. That, V, is how the baptism, water baptism, saves us and cleanses us from our sins. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283.
And we have another caller calling in or texting in this question. They want to know, this is from the last three digits, 113 of their phone number. And their question is, from Mark 7:9-13, where does this stand after Jesus' resurrection? Well, good question, and we will look at that, Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. And it just dawned on me, I was looking at the wrong chapter, so we're going to have to wait on this, and I'll get back to you, because I was about to answer it from chapter 9, verses 7 through 13. I apologize for that. It's time for us to take our next break, and we'll get back to this question in just a second. Again, if you have a question, call in right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and we want you to know just how sincere we are when we offer you that Bible correspondence course. And we tell you that through experiences, that with literally dozens and dozens of people throughout the years that have said the exact same phrase, I never knew that. And they learn about things in the Bible correspondence course that they've heard throughout the years, but maybe never really actually applied it and understood it. Or, you know, can go and be a part of worship services and church congregations for decades and decades and not learn and know, you know, what God's word really says concerning certain subjects. I mean, you know, throughout the years we've been on this broadcast and we've been meeting people and studying with people and speaking with people, I mean, we've literally come in contact with hundreds and hundreds, if not a thousand people by now. And we hear consistently the same thing among those who have studied with us consistently, you know, week after week. Like, wow, I never knew that. I went my whole life without understanding that or knowing that. That's because the Bible correspondence course is just so simple, so straightforward, book, chapter, verse, without any kind of man-made doctrinal boundaries or going by any guidelines. We don't hide from anything. We don't apologize for teaching you God's word. And that Bible correspondence course can aid you. You can do it whenever is best for you and whenever allows you to be most focused and just, you know, whatever helps you more in your walk with God. So please take advantage of the Bible correspondence course. We are so excited of anyone that would be able to take advantage of that. We've already had a few people sign up for it today. Please continue to do that. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. The lines are available, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We have the texter 113 asking this question. From Mark 7, verses 9 through 13, where does this stand after Jesus' resurrection? Again, I apologize for mixing up earlier. And here we are in Mark chapter 7 this time and dealing with verses 9 through 13. He is talking about one of the commandments of the Old Testament. In this case, verse 10, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But I say to you, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you shall have received from me is Corban, that is dedicated to the temple, and you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and such things you do. And so he's dealing with how that they were abusing. Remember, Jesus lived and died under the law of Moses. And so Jesus was bound to do those things as a human being. And so were everybody else during that day. But when Jesus died on the cross, the law was nailed to the cross with him. Now, interesting enough, this commandment about honoring father and mother was repeated in the new law, and we are to obey that as well. For example, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and so verse 2, actually. And so that is something very important to note, that of the 10 commandments, 9 of them were repeated in the new law, and thus we have to do them because they're repeated in the new covenant. And so where does that stand after Jesus' resurrection? Well, because Jesus was given all authority and he repeated that law, well, we have to obey what the law says. We have to do what God says. Now, as far as their traditions and the way they handled those things, well, again, that was a different law and how to apply those things. That was a different law. It was a civil law. It was a family law. It was a religious law. All was under the same banner. Now there is the religious part, showing ourselves approved unto God, that we must do. And thus, that's how we are to show ourselves approved unto God, by doing what he says. So hopefully that is helpful to you. Yes, that was a law of the commandments, but it was also repeated in the new law. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very, very much. Chuck, next question.
Pat calls in this question. Pat, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and thank you for calling in your question. And Pat says, where does the baptism of the Holy Spirit come in? Well, in baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a couple of different things we need to understand. So let's look at the book of Acts so far. That's where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is seen at. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus is speaking before he goes back up to heaven and leaves the apostles. He's speaking to them. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's telling his disciples, all right, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. And then verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the end of the earth. So he tells them, listen, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we know when it is. It says it's the day of Pentecost. Then verse 2 says there's a rushing mighty wind that comes. And, there was these men going to be speaking with tongues. Verse 3, verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, so this happens to his disciples, and it happens, and they are speaking in these tongues, these other languages. That's all tongues is just different languages. And we see that in verse 8 and verse 9, 10, and 11. We see that there's just different languages. All right, so that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see the same thing happens with Cornelius's household. Cornelius' household was the household of the of the Gentiles. And so this Holy Spirit baptism happens to the Jews first in Acts chapter 2. And then it happens to these Gentiles here in Acts chapter 10. And so Jews and Gentiles, the Jews were under the impression that Gentiles were not equal to them. And so the Holy Spirit baptism in chapter 10 with Cornelius being these Gentiles being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that was to prove to the Jews that, yes, these Gentiles are worthy of salvation. They are your equal. That was the sign of that's what the Holy Spirit baptism was for. It was a sign to show that, yes, these Jews are able to be saved as well and to enter into God's kingdom. And we know that with certainty because over in Acts chapter 11, Peter is giving this account to other disciples here. And then in verse 16 of Acts chapter 11, it says, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, Peter says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God? Verse 18 is key. It says, when they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. That is the reason why those in Cornelius' household received baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they were to be shown that, yes, the Gentiles can receive salvation and be brought into as children of God as well. So that's what the Holy Spirit baptism was for. And we can tell that's different from water baptism, because in Acts chapter 2, Peter, there when he was preaching to the crowd, he commanded them to be baptized. Verse 38, it says, Peter said to them, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can know that's water baptism because you can't command the Holy Spirit to baptize you. And you as a person, Peter as a person, he can't command the Holy Spirit to baptize other people. God is the only one that tells the Holy Spirit who to baptize. And we saw two instances of that. They're both in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. The first one was for the Jews. The second one was for the Gentiles. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The other time we see baptism mentioned in throughout the scriptures, specifically in the New Testament, the other time, it's water baptism. And we can continue at that pass. Thank you so much for those questions. If you would like to know more, you can dial 553-5157 and at the answer machine, leave your information there and say, hey, I want to study more about this whole baptism thing, baptism, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. I want to know more. Can you guys come and we can study this together? We would be delighted to do that, Pat, if you're interested in that, as well as anyone else about any other subject. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564.
Don't miss out on getting your question on today's broadcast. The number, the voice line is 308-9564, or the text line is 725-9283. We have a caller from the last three digits of 894, want to know about this. Says, and also they called in voice line, and they're with the name Cece. Says, if your church leader or pastor wants to assign you a position that you feel you cannot fulfill, are you in disobedience to God if you decline that position? And obviously, you really want this answer today. And so we thank you so much for calling. We got your question, and here is where we're going. First of all, let me point out to you, as far as if this person, I'm going to assume, first of all, that the man really is a pastor, as the Bible calls a pastor. And the answer to that question is in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. It's instructing those shepherds, those pastors, as the Bible defines them. It says, nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So there you can see the attitude or the approach that these shepherds, overseers, pastors, bishops are supposed to be able to be functioning in, and not being lords over. So no, they are not equated equal with God, and that does not mean that you've sinned against God. And so they're not to be in a position like that. Now let's talk about position just for a second. And that is, they're in the kingdom of God. There's only one person that has authority that we should be listening to, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, he is the teacher, and we are all brethren. And so we need to make certain that we are not giving man credence or authority that God has not given them. Matter of fact, people weren't even to be listening to the apostles as far as elevating them into positions of authority. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Now, if these men were truly pastors, as God's word depicts them as pastors, they would, first of all, not be a pastor with a positional name such as Pastor So-and-so, nor were their apostles as Apostle So-and-so. Look at the beginning of every one of the books in the New Testament, almost every one. You'll find out the word apostle is never used as a title or a position of rank. We are all brethren. Matthew 23 and verse 8, we make that very, very clear. Our God makes that very clear. And so there's no such thing as someone to be lording over us or telling us what to do. Jesus is the one, and he's the only one that can be instructing us as far as righteousness today. Thank you so much for your question. And thank you for your desire to know what God says. Again, that's Matthew 23 and verse 8. And then also 1 Peter chapter 5. Go ahead and read verses 1 through 4, and you'll get to context. I believe we have a person standing by.
Yeah, Sam. We have Sam as a live caller. Sam, are you there?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I think I have the answer to global warming. Chapter Genesis 9:15. And while we're at it, I'd like to know, is there any more information about global warming in the New Testament?
All right. You said that was Genesis. You said 9?
Genesis 9:15.
Genesis 9:15.
That's the key right here. It's 7,000. The answer is 7,000 years old.
He said, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all the earth.
Don't stop. Keep on going.
And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth.
Okay. All right. That's the answer right there. So why is all these people talking about, hey, it's going to be a big problem on the East Coast, you know, because the snow is melting up there in Iceland. That's a lie right there. That's a lie. It's nothing but the devil. It's nothing but the devil trying to put fear in people.
Oh, yeah. Sensationalism. No, that's what preachers buy into.
Can we find any more information about this in the New Testament?
No. There's nothing. Everything in God's Word, the next event to take place is when the whole world is going to be destroyed with fire. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 3, okay. Verses 10 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 13.
Well, I might as well get the typewriter out. Might have learned to the president and everybody else talking this crazy talk.
I know it.
Nothing but fear.
Yep, that's right. Fear mongers. The only thing we have fear is one that can destroy the soul and the body, not just the body. And we better listen to him very quickly.
Well, that's right. Okay, well, take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Bye. Appreciate you listening. Again, the number is 308-9564. Did we miss a break? Yes, all right. We'll go ahead and go to break, and we'll be right back. We've got a couple of questions, but go ahead and get yours in, and we'll do our best to deal with it on today's broadcast. The number is 308-9564. We're back live now. We want you to know the Bible Correspondence Course is free. It has always been free, and we will never charge you. Matter of fact, just put away your checkbook. Put away your money. Let us send you treasure in God's Word. Don't miss out on this. The course, you can study it anytime, day or night, and then you fill it out and send it back to us where we'll grade it, send you the next lessons and back and forth. And we have many, many different courses that you can study through. The blessing is what you will get from God of eternal value. So don't miss out on it, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, we are standing by for your questions to come in right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yeah, we have Barbara calling in this question, asking us to please explain unleavened bread. If you look at Exodus chapter 12, that's where God was commanding about the Passover and how they were supposed to use the Passover. This is going to be a memorial to them when the Spirit of the Lord passed over the houses that had blood on the door and did not kill the firstborn of those in Egypt. And in verse 15, he says, you are to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. On the first day, you should be sure to remove all the leaven from your houses. So not only they weren't supposed to eat bread with leaven is just yeast. It's added to the dough to make it rise, to ferment it. And so the bread they were supposed to eat was supposed to be unleavened bread. They weren't even supposed to have any leaven or yeast. They're not even supposed to have it in the house. And so we can't have too much more to explain it about than that. That was Exodus chapter 12. And so he's just God commanded them to have bread without any yeast in it. And so that's pretty much all we can have to say for that. That's Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. Once again, definition 11 is just yeast, you know, added to the dough, to the bread, to make it rise. Ricky?
Yes. If you have a question, call right now, 308-9564. The text questions are rolling in as well, and we will let the Bible speak. James wants to know, where can we find the new commandment in the Bible? Well, James, that phrase is used in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, where Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. See that you love one another. that all men may know you're my disciples indeed. That's John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Then we have Ms. Adrian calling in this question. She wants to know, why is it hard for me to speak in a tongue? Seems like I don't understand, since I do not understand what I am saying. And if it is it of the Holy Spirit? Is this the case? Well, Ms. Adrian, you are right to be puzzled by this, because in the Bible, what's going on today, what people call tongue speaking, is not what the Bible calls the tongues that people are speaking. In Acts chapter 2, all you have to do is let's just go all the way back to the beginning where it was very first mentioned. And in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, you will find out verse 4, the very first mention of tongues. Acts 2, verse 4, they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then as you continue on in verse 6, you can see, what was that tongue? It says they heard them speak in their own language. Well, it was not only there in verse 11. It says that how is it that we hear them speak our own tongues, the wonderful works of God? These were languages of man. It says it three times in that context. Languages that were spoken on the earth. Now, Ms. Adrian, all you have to do in order to test this theory, which is not a theory, we just read it right there in Acts chapter 2, but if you really want to test it, is just take a little recorder and record some of that tongue speaking, and then go from one church to the next church and have interpreters interpret that recording. And what you'll hear is different story after different story after different story to the same speaking in tongues recording. Wow. Isn't that easy to be able to expose? Yes. What is done today is emotionalism. What was done in the Bible were languages of man, so all would be edified. 1 Corinthians 14 makes that very, very clear. So thank you for your question. Just go back to the Bible and find the answers. Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, and you'll see the absurdity of it all. Chuck?
Yeah, we got a text question asking about Exodus 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, it turned again as the other flesh, talking about the hand. He says, what color must have been the color of his flesh? And if you look at that, it says that when he talks about the hand being leprous, was as snow. Well, the disease of leprosy, it caused spots on the skin, and some of them would be white as snow. So just because the leprous was was causing your hand to be white as snow, that doesn't necessarily mean that when the hand was restored as the other, it doesn't necessarily mean they were brown skin or anything else. It just says that one of the things that leprosy does is it makes the spots on your hand, it grows, and it can be cancerous, and it can be calloused, and it will look white like snow. So that's really more talking about the leprosy and not necessarily giving you a hint of the nationality or the color of the person. We just won't be able to answer that question. So hopefully that's all that we really can go from that.
Yes, and so we appreciate your question very much. We have this also, a question from a texter wanting to know, what is the true name of God? There are hundreds of names for God in the Bible, not just one. And so to place reference or preference to some name would be actually to do an injustice to what God says. We also have this text question from the last three digits, 111113 again. Is it right to celebrate a living member of the church example of long service in the church? There is, as far as physically and as far as socially is concerned, you can celebrate anybody's birthday or anything. But as far as an assembly of God's people or as a function of the church, in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, we should give all honor to him who deserves all honor. That would be God. And Father, the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so our worship should be vertically directed to God. And so we hope that's helpful to you. And let's see, the last question is, where did having a person tarry for the Holy Ghost come in? Well, it's not in the Bible. It's just not there. And so sorry about that. We had to rush into your question. We might can also focus in on this next week. We are out of time. We told you they pile up at the end of the broadcast, and we apologize for that. Be sure to tune in again next week, and we will go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak.